Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now.
Productions, one of the few Black-owned radio stations that addresses the solution to Black communities in America. Now, if you have a question or a comment from you laptop folks, dial 516-531-9540. That's 516-531-9540, and please press 1. And this is Black Urban America. The lineup is Saturdays at 8 p.m. We have Provocative Thought with Carlton Steen. On Tuesday, again, myself, my name is Kenny Jones, host of Black Urban America. On Wednesday, we have The Cutting Edge with Michonne, host by Michonne Williams. And the next month, we'll be adding a new show to the lineup. Next month, we'll be adding a new show to the lineup that feature a magazine, Park Harlem Magazine. Now, don't you know that Black folks were highly stressed prior to the COVID-19, the pandemic? According to Black Mental Health Alliance, COVID is taking a toll on our mental health, according to these guys. Also, this is a statistics by the Black Alliance of Mental Health, or Black Mental Health Alliance. Black men continue to underutilize mental health services. I wonder why, but I guess going to address that. John Shepherd said he's head of the board of the Black Mental Health Alliance, stated so many of us in the Black community who are anxious about the coronavirus pandemic are among the least likely to talk it out with mental health professionals. Now, tonight, we have a mental health professional that's going to address all those issues, how the Black community is functioning during this pandemic. As we heard over the past several months, that the Black community, Black and brown folks, are at high risk because of the non-existing insurance, mental health coverage, and what have you. And it's going to be the hardest hit. We have tonight a addiction counselor from Eno Associates Law Office. And his name is James Stewart. Welcome to our show, Mr. Stewart. Hello?
Good evening. Kenneth, can you hear me?
Yes. Mr. Richard Stewart.
Kenneth, can you hear me?
Yes. I hear you loud and clear. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. This is Richard Shaw.
Richard Shaw. I don't know where I got Stewart from. I'm sorry, sir. Mr. Richard Shaw.
That's okay. That's okay.
Welcome to Black Up America.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And thank you for the invitation, Kenneth. I appreciate it.
No problem, Brother
okay.
Richard.
Like Kenneth mentioned earlier, this coronavirus is hitting us at an alarming rate. Unfortunately, 5 months ago, my mother passed away from the virus while in a nursing home. And, of course, it was passed on wittingly or unwittingly by nursing agents and staff there. But the key thing is this.
You have my condolences, Richard.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. She would have been 96 this coming August.
I guess a lot of people should live a full life.
Yes, We're grateful for that. You're a dear mother of 9 children.
Wow.
But the key thing is we can't let this thing go. As a lot of radio audience already know, this virus is nothing new other than the structure of it. It came in like in 61, came back again in 71, and this time it's coming in as a vengeance. It's called Corona-19. But the key thing is this. The Mayo Clinic has endorsed the following methods that we should take from their health letter. The key thing is this. Social distancing, 6 feet. Number 2, wear a facial mask. Number 3, wash your hands frequently with soap and water or hand sanitizer. Now, the key thing is this. Some sanitizers do not have alcohol in it. They say alcohol-free, but it must contain at least 60% of alcohol to be effective. And a plus, it behooves everybody. If you can get a thermometer, have it placed in your home. Take your temperature every day. Some people are alarmed and say the temperature is 99. Well, basically, at Ridgeview Institute Hospital, where I took training at, if 99 appears, it's not very alarming. It's alarming when we start getting like 100, 101, 103. Then we worry because the hypothalamus is reacting to the body, which acts as a thermostat to the body. So please, if you can, take your temperature every day. Now, the alarming part about this is this. For the last 5 months at Ridgeview Institute, from 9 o'clock in the morning to almost 5 o'clock in the morning, parents have been bringing in their lung children as young as 9 years old, evidencing schizophrenia and psychotic behavior. Now, this being cooped up in your homes, we know it takes a toll on people. It takes a toll on people when you're not employed. You're at home all day. You're crabby, cranky. But the key thing is this. Even if you come to our hospital, you will get good counseling. Counseling is imperative. Counseling is a salient factor of keeping our faculties throughout this virus situation. I'm asking everybody, fasten your seatbelts because it's going to last a little bit longer. Now, you probably already heard that 30,000 people have already volunteered to take vaccinations to see how effective the new vaccines will be. There's about 7 companies in the pipeline trying to fix this. So with the God's prayer, I'll give you insurance that we're going to come out this victoriously. Kenneth, you have any questions for me?
Yes. If anybody in the audience have any questions, just dial 516-531-9540 and press 1. Yes. I call myself a representative of the Black community and with this show and have all my guests on here. I'm real on focus on my community and how we should address these issues and what have you. And is there, or it has been said, that Blacks mistrust the mental health system How can we go to a mental health agency or a hospital to talk out problems when we mistrust that system?
That is very understandable, Kenneth. If we look back into history, we see that we've been dealt a fair and low blow with the Tuskegee experiments, with syphilis being injected without their permission. Majority of those people could not even read. So they do have some qualms and apprehensions about what's going to happen. But if I might emphasize, the most important criteria is this. Ridgeview Hospital, I've been there since 1986, has a great reputation. The key thing is that you got to go to the right parties. Now, I'm going to give you an example. We had one young lady that came in about 3 o'clock in the morning about 2 months ago, and she was accompanied by some so-called, quote, recovery facility that was in town. And what happened, they asked the young lady, we'll hold your valuables while you go in for counseling, and we'll wait here for you. The bad part about it is she came in to see us, and then when she was ready to leave, these people had skedaddled, left the premises, no way to contact them, and they had her wallet and valuables. So the key thing is this, get somebody who's reputable. Reputability is paramount, and I recommend endorse Ridgeview Institute. It's been a great hospital. It's been around for a long time. We have great psychiatrists, clinicians, nurses. And Kenneth, if I might also give the address of our unit there, is okay?
Sure.
Yes. Okay. Ridgeview Institute is located at 3995 South Cobb Drive in the city of Smyrna, Georgia. And of course, the zip code there is 380. Our telephone number is 770-434-4567. And when you call, ask for the access center or the intake unit. And this is where everything begins. Now, the bad part about it might take 2 or 3 hours to be seen, but it'll be worth it. Counseling is imperative. It is very important, especially during this season of this virus, because we're going to go through this another 2 or 3 months. The vaccines are not ready to come out probably until late spring.
Well, they're saying another year. It's going to take almost a year.
Yep. Right. They say almost another year.
From the MIH mm-hmm. folks are saying. And
right.
The CDC, the guys from the CDC had even put a date on it.
And you probably heard about this. About 30,000 volunteers of one company now ready to take the vaccine to see how effective it'll be. So it's going to be a while, and we just got to bear down to it.
Okay. Well, let me ask you another question.
Yes, sir.
Why is the level of anxiety increasing in certain neighborhoods during this pandemic?
One important reason is the violation of the rule, social distancing. If you remember, during the spring break, a lot of colleges went down to Florida.
Right.
A lot of events has been going on, like the Black Lives Matter, which is great.
Right.
We need Black Lives Matter. We need that banner. But what's happening is a lot of people have been congregating too close, and we can't let our guard down, even though under the guise of trying to progress in a racial depressed situation. We got to keep our guards up. We got to know what we're fighting and what we're facing. This COVID-19 is vicious. It will kill you. It will take you out of here. We got to be aware of that. We got to do what we have to do. Even though the White House may not be the forthcoming leadership in the particular area, but we got to use common sense.
Well, everybody's saying he's handling it wrong, even his own people. Even his own people are sitting behind his back that he's handling it wrong. Guys, if you have a question or comment, please press 1. Well, let me ask you this. why is it? You just said that we're too close. We shouldn't be standing so close to each other, especially during these protests. Well, why are states opening up earlier than they're supposed to? For example, Memorial Day weekend, the state of Georgia opened up, and you see now the numbers went up, skyrocket. The state of Florida refused. Matter of fact, we were just talking about the spring break. They was on top of each other in the beach, not practicing social. They didn't even have any face masks on. The state of Texas, why are states waiting until there is a crisis in order to put these measures in?
The number one reason is this, Ken. When this virus first hit, we first got wind of it around April.
Was March. It was February. What? It was February,
yeah.
Because the first person reported was the latter part of February, and they didn't even get serious because they were joking about it until some celebrities came down with the corona. That's when
right.
America became more serious about this virus.
Right. Around March is when I was forbidden to even go to the nursing home to see my mother in March.
Right.
But I think the key thing is this, Main Street versus Wall Street. The schools have always been an open institution. Our president is pushing our students to get back into school this fall.
Which
but
is a mistake.
Know, the president is not the proper authority to be emphasizing and letting this go through. We got to have and maintain sanitation methods, social distancing, and without that, what's going to happen is that they're going to go skyrocket and then create an uptick, and then we're back where we were before. But the situation is we're dealing with money, we're dealing with employment, people got to go back to work, but not at the sacrifice of our young children. It's not worth it, not at all.
Well, Richard, do you think the high unemployment rate, I think is the last count was 40 million, do you think
yes, sir.
That has an impact on the increase of the depression and anxiety levels?
Oh, most definitely it has a correlation. When you don't have any money bringing in, coming in, feeding your children, supporting your wife, in some manner of modicum of income coming in, and then all of a sudden it crashes and stops. You probably heard about now we're starting to do evictions here in Georgia.
Right.
Again, that's
starting
a bad idea.
Week. Starting
that's a
this
bad idea.
Week.
That's a bad idea.
And
it's going to create work for the attorneys, but it's still not
going to increase the value right there, right, Rich? Losing your
we
home?
We can't put people out on the street. We can't put people out on the street. We can't sacrifice economics just to get some money coming in. The landlords, the partnerships here in Atlanta who own these buildings and property, they knew about the virus coming. They knew the upside, the downside of it. And believe me, they are well versed and able to go through this pandemic basically unscathed. They have the resources. They have the millionaires behind them. Again, it's not worth evicting people who are making $600, $700, $800 a month, kicking them out of their apartments, and then creating another pandemic situation when they're out on the streets. Even the homeless people are starting to have an uptick of getting this virus. So it behooves everybody to use caution and think before we act.
Now, what are some of the, I was talking to this domestic violence professional, and she said, due to this pandemic and the social, this quarantine, a lot of people in the home for 2 or 3 months, that there will be an increase of domestic violence. Have you seen that?
I've seen it that when people come in at our facility 3 and 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, I've seen an uptick in that since the month of March at Bridgeview Institute. Yes, I have seen it up close and personal. And of course, I have to use my social skills and psychological skills to qualm the situation, but we have seen a lot of it within the last 4 or 5 months. We have people who become disinterested in maintaining good hygiene. We have people who come in that their agitation level is up to skyrocketing levels. We have people coming in to try to coat and soothe themselves with drugs, which is a bad thing. And that lends itself to what is called diagnosis of dual diagnosis, not only a mental problem, but an outside problem being brought in to soothe that problem by the use of drugs. So, yes, there have been a definitely uptick. I've seen it. There are some nights I don't even have time to take a lunch break.
Wow. So you got the midnight shift.
Yes, sir. And that's when everybody comes out. I get to see it all.
Oh, hey, Michonne, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you all doing?
Oh, your phone is working, huh?
Yes, at least at the moment.
Do you have any question for Richard? We're talking, you know what we're talking about, right?
Mental health, addiction.
The mental health and how the coronavirus is affecting how there's been an increase in anxiety and depression due to the coronavirus.
Okay, I do have a question. Now,
this is the host of Cutting Edge with Michonne.
Yes, okay, I'm ready.
Okay, the question I want to ask is, with these people having depression because of corona and things like that, is it brought on from the corona, or it just brings it out in them as something they already had?
Okay. To answer your question, and to be honest with you, most of it is environmental. Some is genetic. So some of this is going to be there presently evident, but the catalyst becomes the virus, which increased being enclosed in the house, cooped up, no social outlets. You're surrounded by people who might be pessimistic, and you might be surrounded by people who are optimistic, hopefully. But the key thing is, some of this is genetic based, which is enhanced by this virus being cooped up and surrounded in tight facilities around people who do not have what we call social coping skills, and that tends to create a downslide. And that's why we're getting more patients here at our hospital at night because of that. And it tends to trickle down to the young adults. As I said, we have people coming in as young as 9 years old that these signs of schizophrenia and psychotic episodes are becoming manifest, brought on by the virus, vis-a-vis the being locked up, cooped up, and no social outlets to help these people. And no benefit of the bargain, as we say, of counseling. Counseling is crucial. Counseling is crucial. You got to have it.
Does it affect more men than women, or vice versa? Or is it equal?
From my studies, for 34 years, I tend to say that it is basically equal. I know some schools of thought say it's more men, more women, But from my aspect of since 1986 up until now, I would have to say it's 50-50.
Yeah. Have you seen an increase in addiction and relapse?
Yes, I have. We handle DFACS children, adolescents, boy, male and female, and we also handle addiction and the psychiatric phase of adults, male and female. And what is happening the last 3-4 months, what we've been seeing is people who are prone to taking alcohol or increasing their alcohol intake, those who are prone to taking cocaine, heroin, meth, or now being more enhanced with their environment to take more, induced to take more and more and more to solve the problems that they think they have or might have. And yes, there's an uptick in it. And because of being enclosed, surrounded, there is an uptick because people have no other alternative but to do so. Now, I'm not giving a license to do so. I do not advise anybody to go out and take drugs to solve their problems, to try to not face reality. We all have to face reality. That is a must in order to get through this life. But there is an uptick. People use that as a crutch, and they begin to take more and more and more in the hopes of decreasing how I feel, how I feel, how I feel.
Now, you said earlier, we just got to hold on. How can we stay encouraged through this pandemic that the political structure is going to follow the recommendation of the scientists, and the scientists are not pulling the wool over our eyes?
Yes, I mean,
how can we stay encouraged during this climate?
The best arsenal of protection and fortitude is this: knowledge. We got to know how to protect ourselves and how to protect others. Yesterday, I went to Detroit, and when I came back to from the airport, there's a young man wearing his mask, and another individual said, "Why don't you put your mask on?" And then the other young person got real huffy and puffy about it. He put his mask on, but he didn't cover his nose, so it was like half-half. But it doesn't behoove everybody. You got to remind your neighbor, put your mask on. If they get huffy about it, okay, you put yours on, and if you have to, you move away from them. We're not here to create arguments or discord among ourselves. We're all in this together, but we got to have knowledge that we have God on our side, knowledge that we have common sense to do what the scientists say we have to do in order to protect ourselves. We got to do it.
Now, should we limit, because this pandemic been on 24 hours, 7 days a week since March 1st. They've been on the sports programs. They've been on the business channels. They've been on the news channels. They've been everywhere. It's all over social media. You talk about knowledge. Should we limit?
Yes.
Okay. And why? Why?
Okay. Basically, are you saying we should we limit ourselves socially because of the pandemic?
No. I say, should we limit ourselves in the media watching pandemic?
Yes. Okay. I'll give you an example. My wife.
All the sports programs. I watch sports programs a lot. as you can see.
Yes, sir.
It's affected the bottom line. It affected baseball. It's affected the NBA in the bubble. They don't know if college sports going to be played. They have nothing to talk about. So they talk about pandemic affected the sports. Then you got on the business channel, how the stock market, how pandemics affected the stock market, or even on the court shows. So, should we limit ourselves into how much we're watching of this pandemic?
Oh,
or
yeah,
watch
definitely.
Too much, increase the
definitely.
In it. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. We got to use what is called common sense. We have to know what's going on around us, definitely, but we can't let that interfere with our normal day of having a nice, relaxing evening at home, a nice tender steak with onions on it. We can't let the TV bombard us with bad news to the point that we end up having a rough or bad day, can't sleep at night. So take in what is necessary, but don't go overboard with the news. Don't get carried away. Don't let it take you. You take it and use it for all it's worth to protect you and your family.
Go ahead, Ms. Sean. Oh, before you say something, Sean, again, if you have something to say, a comment or a question, please press 1. Go ahead, Ms. Sean.
Okay.
Okay.
I got a question. If there's someone that, is having some issues with the depression and everything from the COVID, what can we do if you try to get them to go seek help and they're refusing to go? Is there anything a person can do to help out, to help them?
Yes, if I understand the question correctly, the best thing that person can do is monitor the situation. Legally speaking, we're here at the hospital, can't do anything unless a person is dangerous to himself or to others.
Yeah.
And then we issue what is called a 1013, and then later on a 1014. But the only thing you can do is sort of monitor the situation. Now, there are some occasions where if it gets so extreme, you can call an ambulance and have the attendants come and take them to the nearest hospital so they can be evaluated by the emergency room doctor. Then they, in turn, will contact the psychiatrist and psychologist on staff.
Uh-huh.
But you can call, have an ambulance taken to the nearest hospital. And that situation came up about 3 months at our hospital. And I told them to do that. They filed suit. They brought the person here. And then, of course, we issued a 1013, then later 1014. We kept them for about 3 weeks until they became stabilized.
Okay, now I have a question about if you call an ambulance and say the person refuses to go, will they not take them or?
No, they the ambulance attendants are legally not allowed to take somebody against their will. They can't do it because they end up getting sued if they do for false imprisonment. But the only thing you can do there is, again, if the person becomes highly agitated or something like that, you can call the local policeman, have him or her come out to the situation and have them evaluate it. And then if they see or feel that that person should go to, let's say, Grady Hospital or to my hospital, Riverview Institute, they have the legal authority to do so. But other than that, I as an individual, you as an individual, we can't make somebody seek mental health treatment if they don't want to. It has to be voluntary, which is their constitutional right.
We have a question. We have a caller.
Okay.
5240, you're on the line. Welcome to Black Urban America.
Yes, thanks. Do y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir, I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, that's good. Yes, this is a good show tonight. What I want to ask you, you know, I've heard different reports the coronavirus, you know, coronavirus vaccine, you know, would it be 2021 or 22? And is it safe? Because then there was something going into phase three. And I want to know what was you hearing, you know, in the medical field about, you know, what they're doing and what is a good timeline that you think that everything going to be good, we can have enough medication to go around for the American people. You would, sir.
Right. Like Kenneth mentioned earlier, he gave a very good target timeline, which has been floating around here at the hospital. And the earliest timeline was late spring. But like I mentioned earlier, there's about 30,000 volunteers lined up to take this vaccine. There's about seven companies, Pfizer, Mondura. There's other companies trying to get this, see who's going to come out with the vaccine first. There's 30,000 people already volunteered for Mondura Pharmaceutical Company to take the vaccine to see if it's going to be adverse effects on people later on. But yeah, it's going to take a while because of the Federal Drug Administration. We can't take medication and say, here it is, take it. We have to go through the chain, the line of expertise that goes through this, the CDC approval and everything before we can actually take the shots. Now, I've also heard also some people, my friends have said, some people have said, I'm not going to take it. That's okay. But I do know one thing, when it's available and it's safe, Richard Shaw will take that vaccine because I've taken measles shots, I've taken vaccine shots with other things, polio shots.
Yeah. Urban Outlook gonna take it too, so I appreciate that.
So, but anyway, they're working as fast as they can, safely as they can. And as soon as they reach, seven companies are working on it. We have some companies in Switzerland that are working on it, your pharmaceutical companies. So as soon as it comes out, and as soon as it's safe, hopefully we get this thing done. Like I mentioned earlier, this is hitting Main Street, which is us. It's hitting Wall Street. The stock market went down all the way, the Dow went down to 21,000, and now it's all the way up, back up to about 26, trying to hunker and clove and get next to the 27,000 market. So anyway, as soon as we get something stabilized that we can use, the recovery will come back, but it will not come back quickly. It'll come back slowly, but it'll come back to a level that we can be proud of.
Yeah. We Americans do bounce back. I've seen that from 9/11. But I have,
yes, sir.
I have another question for you, Richard. And it's
yes, Kenneth. Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
It's a very cynical question.
Okay.
How come? Now, do you think, now this is your perspective. This is your perspective.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Do you think the United States had lost a lot of reputation by the way they handle this crisis?
My answer to that is yes, emphatically a yes, because of the people who are in leadership have done a very poor job of conveying the importance of this virus. We don't care where it came from. We don't care if it came from a bat. The thing is, it's here, so we got to fight it and protect ourselves. So the leadership at the top has done a very poor job of convincing people that we have an enemy at hand, and we got to fight it, and we got to stick together. We're in this together. The leadership has not emphasized those components, and as a consequence,
the president
this
of
is
the
where
United
we are
States
now.
Just start wearing the mask within the last couple of days.
Yes,
he said one time, stop the testing, slow down the testing.
Uh huh.
That was right before Memorial Day.
Right. And the president had just visited the place up in Kansas City, and it was told to us that he was wearing his mask, at least briefly, while he was there. But the administration has done a poor job. They've done a poor job of guiding us, telling us what's what, and letting us be privy to the scientists, the people who know what they're talking about, who have studied this in and out under the microscope for years. They know what they're talking about. They know what should be done, and we got to listen to them. If we don't, they'll become victims of this calamity.
Should the United States have a federal mandate on that? This has been the debate for the past 3 months on almost Face the Nation, Meet the Press. Should there be a federal mandate on social distancing and wearing your mask?
From a health point of standpoint, the answer is an emphatic yes. From a legalistic standpoint, the answer would be no.
Because then we're infringing upon
our personal liberties. And that becomes an issue in itself. Each citizen, we have our constitutional rights, freedom of expression, freedom of association, and comes from the plenura of the rights, the First, Second, Sixth, 14th Amendments. And because of that, the legal aspect is we can't force people to do it. We can ask them.
You can sign an executive order.
We can be nice enough to say, would you please put the mask on?
Yeah, well, Governor Cuomo, but, I think Denver, Texas, California, there are governors that signed a mandate where you could get fined for not having a mask on.
Yes, that's because the each state has what is called the right of powers, health, safety, and the welfare of their citizenry. So therefore, they have a legal right. The 10th Amendment gives them that right to do what's best for their states. But it doesn't stop Joe Jones from going out and filing a constitutional lawsuit against the state and say my rights are being violated. He or she has the right to do so. But at the same time, we got to do what's best for the safety and welfare of our citizenry. To protect these people, protect our relatives, our family, our friends, our church workers, etc. Again, we got to use common sense. If you notice, Governor Kemp has decided to forego coming into court. I think he is basically going to lose a fighting battle, so he's sort of withdrawing from the picture, having to come to court against our mayor of Atlanta over this issue. But
I thought he was taking Mayor Bottoms to court. I thought he was taking Mayor Bottoms to court, and it was over this mandate because Mayor Bottoms want to institute some type of mandate to make people wear their masks or what have you, and the social distance. And Governor Kemp is saying no, you can't force people to put on a mask. Basically,
right.
You got to remember Governor Kemp. Friends with President Trump, and they in that type of thinking.
Right. And I think that's where it mainly comes from, the president, his endorsement of the idea. Because if you notice, Kenneth, let's say you go to, let's say I'll pick an arbitrary name, custom department store, and you see the sign at the front of the door say, you cannot come in unless you wear a mask. Those people have
at
a right
Walmart.
To do that to protect themselves. So now I can get huffy and puffy and say, okay, I'm going to get my lawyer. I'm going to fight this. Okay, you can fight it all you want. But in the end, that store is going to prevail because they have a right to protect themselves. They're in interstate commerce. They've become an offspring of the federal government as far as commerce is concerned. So they have a right to do that to protect everybody in the store. Home Depot, if you go to this store, they're on the front. You can't come in unless you wear a mask. Okay, if you don't want to wear your mask, go somewhere else.
Well, I have seen some small businesses, their employers not wearing masks, and I wonder why. I think it should be a mandate. If anything, you are protecting your fellow citizen. Rashawn, you got a question? Rashawn?
Yes. I do have another question.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, far as wearing the mask, and you're talking about going to these public places, I was in Walmart an hour ago, and there were people in there with no masks, and they do have signs up, so stores are letting them go through. Mm-hmm. Even when
in
they're
Atlanta.
Saying that you can't enter.
Not in Atlanta. Because they got
well,
one of the store employees at the
in
door.
Illinois, they're doing it.
Yeah, because in Atlanta, they got employers at the store, employees at the door, and they got a box of masks. You know,
well, they
if you
have
don't have
here.
The mask, you got to put that mask on.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have that here,
that,
but they're still not doing everybody.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and they're still walking in the store.
And that is one primary reason why we have this uptick, because some people don't think it's necessary. You have to start with the basics, the four components I mentioned earlier in the program. You got to start with those components. And if you don't, if you sidestep them, shortchange them, then we suffer the consequence. Some people don't think it's important to do all these things. Okay, that microscopic virus, the corona, and if you look under the microscope, it looks like a halo. That's why we get the word corona. But that virus is deadly. That virus will go basically to your lungs, your breathing apparatus, and shut it down completely. And it behooves all of us. We got to protect ourselves. If we walk into the store that don't endorse it, you wear it. If a person walk up to you within that 6-foot range, then you move away. You have to do what you have to do to protect yourself so you can live a long, healthy, and productive life. If you don't, then there's chaos, there's calamity, and we don't want that.
So in your practice, do you make everyone wear a mask that comes in? Is it mandatory where you're at?
It is mandatory, yes. And in fact, when you come through that door, I don't care if it's 4 o'clock in the morning, your temperature has to be taken. If it's 100 or above, I'll have security to escort you out of my building, out of the hospital. But it's mandatory, even if you come with somebody, your loved one, everybody comes to that door, your temperature will be taken, and if it's over the safe limit, you will be asked to leave our building. And if you refuse to do it, then I will get security. And believe me, security is quite capable of removing anybody. So, yes, it's mandatory. We have to take your temperature because the hypothalamus, which is the regulator of the human body, it goes into a chaotic mode when you get that virus. Now, flip side, we have some people that are asymptomatic. They have no symptoms at all. That is true. But, like I said before, we have to use a common sense tactic and the common sense avenue. Do the basics, 6 feet distance, wear that mask, wash your hands frequently, and if you have with soap and water, if you want to use a sanitizer, make sure it's at least 60% or above level of alcohol to be effective. Now, you'll see some sanitizers have on there alcohol-free. Don't get it. Don't use it. And also take your temperature every day. Take it every day. It is an indicator. It's not foolproof, but it's an indicator because we have asymptomatic and symptomatic patients.
Well, why do you think that the administration was trying to make this a political issue instead of what it is? It's a health issue. Why was he trying to politicize this issue? And you know what? He should be reprimanded because people died by listening to him.
I think one, if you study the if you study 45, there are certain deficiencies in psychological makeup that are evident and present. Everybody knows it. Have a problem telling the truth, have a problem perceiving what the truth is, and have a problem telling what the truth is in order to protect your electoral base. So the man is being hit at three different avenues and three different points. And as a result, we have chaos that trickles down from the top to the bottom.
And it has a great impact on the public and on his citizens.
Yes.
And I don't care if you're a Democrat, Independent, or Republican. If you are president of this country, you know, one of the sins in the oath is protecting the people, you know. But I guess, like I always said, we can never, you know, I have a hard time trusting in our government, federal government agency, federal government.
Yes. Vox populi, vox dei. The voice of the people is the voice of God. But let's hope this coming November that will come be a self-fulfilling prophecy, and we'll have great leadership and common sense leadership coming November.
Well, can you give that number out again that you gave earlier?
My hospital,
a hotline and stuff like that. Can you give that number out again, please?
Yes, sir. Okay. It's called Ridgeview Institute, and we're located at 3995 South Cobb Drive in the lovely city of Smyrna, Georgia. And the zip code there is 380. And our phone number is this, 770-434-4567. And when you call that number, ask for the Access Center or Intake Center. And then we'll help you there. That's a starting point.
Okay, Rich. Hey, I appreciate you coming on the show. Learned a lot.
Well, I appreciate you asking me, sir. I appreciate you asking me, Kenneth. Thank you.
Yeah,
my pleasure.
In a couple of months, you know, hopefully it died down, or if there's an increase, I invite you back on. We could discuss it some more.
I would love to. And thank you, sir.
Right.
And thank you again.
Okay. And
Godspeed to you and your family.
Michonne, what
thank
are you talking about tomorrow night?
Oh, I'm going to have a town hall tomorrow night.
You're going to have a town hall meeting tomorrow night? Okay, well,
yes.
I'm going to be busy tomorrow night then. Okay, folks, that's another week of Black Earth America. I'd like to thank Richard Shaw. He gave us a lot of information. Please, if you need services, if you're feeling depressed, or what have you, please reach out. Please reach out to somebody, to one of these agencies that can help you. As always, I am because we are. We are because I am. Thank you. I'll see you next week.